Chapter 13.
Obviously, Colonel Doctor, their mission was to obtain specimens of this life form, Laura Braun said. She was the chief of research and development at Radina Station, and not given to speaking unless she had something to say, which was why Suslov was paying close attention to her. Or trying to. There were too many other people squeezed in around the table, and the room's ventilation system was struggling to counter the carbon dioxide buildup. If this meeting went on too long, they'd start passing out. The robot dissected a specimen while they were still on LV-426, a planetoid they were in the process of terraforming. There's a description labeled the pre-larval form, which is apparently the form that killed Boris Lenko. Braun paused to consult one of several long yellow sheets of paper on the table in front of her. She was a throwback, unable and unwilling to go paperless. It made her an oddity. Most people her age barely knew what paper was. Personally, I think it's more correct to call it an ovipositor, she went on, albeit a very unusual one. It functions not only independently of the life form's anatomy, but aggressively, something we've never encountered before. It's, well, alien. One of the military officers sitting opposite Braun leaned forward.
You call the thing an ovipositor, he said, his tone overtly challenging. It came out of an egg. Eggs are laid by ovipositors. Ovipositors don't hatch out of eggs, and they don't spray acid.
Braun was unperturbed. That one was defective, Captain Strelnikov. If you remember, it had grown in the robot's sleep capsule, where its only resources were inorganic materials. The robot itself was severely damaged, which I'm sure contributed to the creature's defects. Strelnikov eyed her skeptically.
Now you're just guessing.
No, I'm hypothesizing from known facts, Braun said with a faint smile. Strelnikov was about to respond when Major Olga Georgievna, sitting on his left, spoke up.
And do you hypothesize that these creatures could be of military importance?
The Major was another one like Braun who didn't chatter needlessly. She was the best strategic thinker Suslov had ever met, which was why he had made her head of logistics and planning, a position Strelnikov had coveted for years. I can prove they are, Major, Braun replied. All I have to do is clone the alien cells. An apprehensive murmur went around the table. Cloning had been universally proscribed for almost a century under the Benevolent Civilizations Treaty. Just the mention had jerked them all out of imminent CO2 stupor. Suslov beckoned to his assistant sitting behind him and told him to step out and notify climate control to triple both the oxygen feed and the ventilation. Now. He turned back to the meeting. Dr. Braun, he said loudly over the not-so-dull roar of aggrieved bureaucrats, and was relieved when they all shut up. Could it be that these creatures were already weaponized? That they were created as weapons? Braun looked pleased with him.
That's exactly what I think, Colonel Doctor, she said. Video extracted from the robot shows the mature form is an extraordinary killing machine, as strong and relentless as it is savage. The individual creatures don't display normal animal behavior. They don't mate or compete for food or territory, nor do they form groups. All they do is kill. With no concern for their own safety, they don't even try to protect themselves. According to information the robot acquired from the colony laboratory, despite the size of the head, there's nothing that would correspond to the cortex or the cerebrum. They show no sign of what we'd call intelligence, no mental activity that is remotely like conscious thought. They seem to be governed solely by instinct. And in a way, that's closer to programming than any natural phenomenon. Novo Ishmael, recently appointed as head of intelligence, put up their hand.
Our covert sources in Weyland-Yutani have already told us of an ongoing weapons division project. However,
their expression turned a bit sour.
We have yet to penetrate the company's security measures to acquire more substantial intelligence.
Could their project be connected to this alien?
Suslov asked. Are they trying to develop a living weapon? He was definitely more alert now, and so was everyone else. He had to wrap this up before they regained the will to argue.
Excuse me.
The head of the diplomacy bureau raised her voice, as well as her hand. She was new in the position, appointed by someone else on the governing council, and Suslov couldn't remember her name.
I'd like to remind the Colonel Doctor, and everyone else, of course, that cloning experiments on living tissue from any species violate the Benevolent Civilizations Treaty, and conducting those experiments as part of military research contravenes the primary restrictions on chemical and biological weapons as agreed to in the Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty. Are we really prepared to do that? She continued. Moreover, can we justify it, not only privately to each other, but also to the other signatories to the treaty? When our activities become known? She paused to look at each person around the table. And I promise all of you, they will become known, she added. Things like this always get out. Always.
Laura Braun shook her head.
Nonetheless, I'd like to inform Chief Diplomatic Officer Duchamp that Weyland-Yutani is prepared to do exactly that. I promise you, Irina, that our capitalist cousins are well underway with this project.
She scanned the group, mimicking Duchamp.
We're all painfully aware of how our technology has lagged behind that of the capitalist cartels, she said. Thanks to a stroke of good luck, we have the opportunity to catch up with them, but only if we push ahead. Now.
I agree, Suslov said. We must proceed.
He pretended not to notice how delighted Braun was, so she wouldn't think he wanted to forge an alliance. By contrast, the head of the diplomatic bureau was anything but delighted. Suslov hoped she was better at hiding her feelings when dealing with the capitalists. He made a mental note to send her an anonymous message suggesting she have freeze injections. Certain jobs really did call for a face full of poison.
With all due respect, Duchamp said stiffly, what we have no choice about is the fate of the robot. I go on the record as strongly advising that it be sent to Anchor Point. Before we do so, however, we should restore it to full function. Are our technicians capable of repairing the thing?
Braun's confident composure disappeared. She stared at the other woman in disbelief.
Why would we waste resources doing that? When it comes to diplomacy, courtesies are never wasted, Duchamp said, gazing at Suslov now. Today's gesture of goodwill, no matter how small, might be crucial in resolving tomorrow's crisis. If we return the robot to them as is, they could claim we damaged it while we were looting its data.
All right. Say we do repair it, Suslov said, slightly amused. They'll still think we squeezed it for every last drop of data.
Of course they will. Duchamp seemed equally amused. But accusing us publicly would make them look very bad, so ungrateful. It would also leave them open to accusations concerning the so-called accidental violation of our territory. Her smile widened. The enemy can't fire on us if we don't give them ammunition.
A murmur of agreement went around the table. Even Strelnikov seemed mollified.
Our technicians will repair the robot, Suslov said with a tone of finality. We'll restore its motor functions and other capabilities using our highest quality components. The technicians must do their very best work and clean it thoroughly to remove any contaminants that might impair its function, allowing us to return it to them in better condition than we found it. He paused, holding up a hand to forestall any comments or questions. And then, he continued, using the alien cells recovered from the robot, we proceed with a program of scientific research. We will clone the alien, not to explore its potential as a weapon, but to discover the properties of substance previously unknown to us. Is this clear? They all nodded dutifully. Then the matter is settled, with prejudice, he told them. We're adjourned. His wasn't the only sigh of relief.